In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Take a break with Pelican's Beak Breaker, the Northwest's favorite double IPA. Pelican Brewing Company. Cheers, fellow fanatics.
Today's Daily Ticker fueled by Pelican Brewing's Beak Breaker IPA. With big hops, big flavor, a crisp finish, Beak Breaker is the perfect way to stay refreshed through every bracket-busting upset. A tale as old as time. Sprague is out. I need a guest. It's 8 o'clock. I forgot to do it. Who do I call? Ghostbusters. No, I'm just kidding. I called Tyson Alger, and he always responds. We set the Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest book guest last night. He responded in maybe 7 seconds after I asked, hey, do you want to hop on tomorrow? And I was kind enough to let him sleep in. We moved the ticker back. Joining us now, Tyson Alger, at Tyson Alger on Twitter. I5Corridor.com is where you can find all of his great work. Tyson, good morning to you. Did we have hockey last night?
No, we didn't. I was just sitting by my phone waiting for you to break that glass in case of an emergency. And I saw the corridor signal go up in the sky, and I was ready for you.
You were. It was a quick call. It was perfect. Nothing worse than texting somebody to come on and then they wait like 4 hours to respond. And it's like, do I need to pivot? Do I need to text somebody else? That didn't happen last night. Tyson was ready to go. Let's jump into last weekend, and then I do want to talk a little Timbers with you. You were up in Seattle. Oregon beats Liberty Bibberty big time on Friday night and then lose a close heartbreaking game on Sunday. I'm just curious your thoughts from the weekend, the end of the Oregon season, what it was like to be in Seattle, Climate Pledge Arena, all of that that you made of what happened this weekend with Oregon basketball.
Yeah, you know, it was a fun weekend. I thought Seattle and Climate Pledge was a really cool venue for this. I've been up there for a couple of hockey games so far with the Kraken, but haven't been there for basketball yet. And kind of being in that arena and watching some pretty good hoop down there, it kind of made you realize that Seattle really needs an NBA team playing in that arena too. Because yeah. I just think it's a pretty cool jewel of a venue, especially with its location and just, you know, it was, pretty well attended too. And, you know, some of that is, due to Arizona, because if anybody followed the Ducks and the Wildcats during the Pac-12s, Arizona was the one team that would travel to everywhere. And so by the time it got to Sunday night and it was, the round of 32, that was a pretty heavy favored, Arizona gym. But yeah, I mean, it was a disappointing end, but you know, the Ducks played really well in that Liberty game, and there was a stretch and at the start of Arizona where they were lighting up the nets in the first 10 minutes of that game, just like they were against Liberty. And it was like, oh shoot, like the Ducks might have a chance there. But you know, ultimately that was a really good Arizona team. And I think maybe you can look at that game and especially look at like the 11-point lead the Ducks had in the first half and kind of be disappointed with the end result. But ultimately it was a good game, and it was just kind of a tough end of the season for a Ducks team that at times this year was really, really good. And at times this year was kind of streaky, but now they kind of have to start over again. That's the way it works in college basketball with the transfer market. We've already seen Mookie Cook go into the portal. Not that he was a huge contributor this year, but yeah, man, it's the NCAA tournament is fun, and I'm glad the Ducks got there. I'm glad they continued their streak of, I think it's 9 tournaments in a row that they've made where they've at least won a game. So mm-hmm. at least Oregon does show up. But yeah, I mean, it's you get kind of to the Monday after being eliminated, and you have this whole build up to the Sweet 16, and I think you're just kind of feeling FOMO right now, right?
You definitely are. Yeah, it's not quite the same if you don't make it to the second week. And it's funny when fandoms are done. I'll be curious, at least locally, the numbers were massive for the tournament in the opening weekend. I'll be curious how that's impacted locally of like, how many people are like, all right, Ducks are out. I'm not going to watch anymore. I don't care. Because that is a big thing when your team or a local team is in that will keep you invested. Just curious, overall health of the program perspective. You mentioned they got to start over, which is something that every college basketball program has to do. Nobody knows if Shellstad and Biddle will be back next year, but they have the ability to come back next year. And both have said, I think that they're enrolled at least in spring classes, so that's a good start. I mean, Altman is—he's a unique figure where he's done more at Oregon than any coach in the history of the program. I'm not counting 1939. They're in the tournament almost every year. It feels like you mentioned they win a game every time they're in the tournament. So he's not one and dunning it or none and dunning it and going and getting bounced immediately on Thursday or Friday. Just your thoughts on the overall health of the program, because Dane Altman and Oregon basketball seems to be an interesting debate amongst the fan base.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty high on it. And this comes, I think, 3 years after, you know, the Ducks went through that 2 year stretch where they didn't make the tournament. Yeah. And when they're not making the tournament, it's really easy to transition into looking at the coach. And you look at Altman and you see that he's getting into his mid-60s. And there's a lot of his contemporaries or colleagues around college basketball or college football that are kind of looking at the landscape and being like, I don't want to deal with this NIL thing. I don't want to deal with this transfer portal thing. And so, you know, you kind of heard some rumors of that this year with Altman. I think there was an ESPN report that listed him as like a potential candidate for retirement. But, you know, that's something that he pretty convincingly shook off a couple weeks ago. He said he loves basketball. He doesn't really have anything else to do. He'll be here as long as the Ducks want him. And, you know, ultimately, I think that's a very solid thing for Oregon. I mean, like, you can criticize Altman for a few things, you know, if you want to talk about like the general level of excitement that he brings to like promoting the team and maybe the home crowd issues and all that. But ultimately, the Ducks won 20 plus games again. They made the NCAA tournament for a second straight year. They were ranked within the top 25 for a lot of this season. And this is a coach who still really has that fire in him. Like, I don't think that Dane Altman's desire or drive has dropped a little bit or at all. And I've actually been pretty impressed with the way that, you know, he's just kind of attacked this whole change of college athletics with just kind of the same drive. I mean, this is a guy who has been very opposite of Mick Cronin this year in talking about just like, yeah, we signed up for the Big Ten. We signed up for this travel schedule. This is what we wanted. And so, you know, you look at the program and maybe they fell short this year. I do think that they did have Sweet 16 level talent this season, but you do get into the NCAA tournament and things turn into a crapshoot. And again, like I said, that Arizona team was pretty solid, but I like where they're at with Altman. And I do think that Shellstad and Biddle are going to come back. And I think that is going to be absolutely key because we saw the major steps both of those players took this season. And, you know, if they're able to kind of fill out the rest around them, I think this is a program that's still got a lot of potential and is in a good place, especially if they get somebody like Kwame Evans back, who, you know, has, you know, it's one thing like watching the Ducks from like the Matthew Knight Arena press row, which is a little bit higher up and it's in the corner. But then like when you get down to the NCAA tournament and you're on the floor and you're watching these athletes basically at level seeding, Kwame Evans is a guy that if he continues to play aggressive, if he continues to chase those rebounds and he can develop his offensive game a little bit, he's such an impressive athlete out there that I think the Ducks still have some really good pieces going into next year. It's just so much can change in the world of college sports within a year that it's hard to kind of guarantee how a team's going to be 1 year to the next. But especially if they can get Biddle and Shellstad back, I think they're going to be in a good spot.
Not a lot of teams return their two best players. Oregon has a chance to do it going into next season. Last one for you. This is our fault. I need a quick answer because we went long in the last segment. So this is not Timber Tyson's fault, but we call you Timber Tyson now because you cover the Timbers. Look, rough start to the year. We got players demanding trades. How's this all going to look? Finally getting a dub, maybe turning things around. How is Timber Tyson feeling? Big home game coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday's result was, I think, the most shocking one that I've experienced in my 2 years of covering the Timbers now. You know, this is a Timbers team that doesn't play well on the road, and they don't score a lot of goals, and they were going up against an undefeated Colorado team. So what do? They go into Denver and they win 3-0, and now they're playing well. It's a fun team right now. They're very young, especially like on the defensive side of things. But you know, they've only allowed 3 goals in their last 4 games, and the defense was the biggest issue of the club last season. So it kind of swings week to week, and I found that like the soccer fan base here is very capable of riding those emotional swings of we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. But yeah, a really nice game on Saturday, and they're coming up playing against a Houston team on Sunday who is one of the worst in the league right now, so it might be a good opportunity for the Timbers to get on a win streak here.
This is why we love him. He does everything. When the signal goes up, he responds. He never disappoints. Tyson Alger. Go check out his great work at the i5corridor.com covering the Northwest sports scene, at Tyson Alger on Twitter. He's one of our favorites. Thanks as always, buddy, and hopefully we got a beer in our new future.
Absolutely, man.